This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Cleveland Cavaliers star LeBron James has had better weeks, it's probably fair to say. Besides losing to the Golden State Warriors in Game 1 of the NBA Finals by more than 20 points last night, the basketball legend held a news conference earlier this week ahead of the NBA Finals, addressing the culprit who spray-painted the N-word on the front gate of a home he owns in Los Angeles.
No matter how much money you have, no matter how famous you are, no matter how many people admire you, you know, being black in America is tough.
In his words, James expressed hope that this would shed a light and keep the conversation going about dealing with racism in America. Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation magazine and host of the Edge of Sports podcast, reacts.
LeBron James was targeted, I believe, not only because of his fame, not only because of his immense cultural capital, which I would argue is on par with any active athlete in the United States, but also because he has been outspoken. And it's really not surprising, as you're seeing all of these other horrific things happen in the United States, from the murders in Portland and College Park, Maryland, to the finding of a noose at the Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture, that you would see an athlete of LeBron's stature targeted as well. It really does feel like all of a package.
How moved were you by the news conference? I mean, he didn't have to do it. He could have just issued a statement.
Well, there was a moment where I went from just saying, wow, I'm really glad he did this, to my jaw hitting the floor and the sort of chills going up my back. And that was when he talked about Emmett Till.
And I think back to Emmett Till's mom, actually. It's kind of one of the first things I thought of. And the reason that she had a open casket is because she wanted to show the world what her son went through as far as a hate crime and, you know, being black in America.
You know, basically saying that if there's one good to come out of this, it's maybe that the publicity it'll get in white America, in mainstream America, the people will see that, like, hey, this is what I have to deal with.
How much do you think this relates, if at all, to the Clippers situation of a couple of years ago?
Oh, profound. And I've spoken to a lot of NBA players about this. And there's kind of a conventional reading that it was the Black Lives Matter movement and the killing of young black men and women by police that led more NBA players to speaking out. But when you talk to NBA players, it really starts with Donald Sterling. And it starts with Donald Sterling being forced out as an owner of the LA Clippers. And Donald Sterling being racist was something that was the open secret in the NBA for decades. And for decades, NBA players kind of grimaced and bore it. And then when they were finally able, with both a new commissioner and with audio of Donald Sterling going public, where he expressed his racism, it gave players this sense of, we don't have to be passive when we see these kinds of things, that we actually have some power. I think there's a direct line between that and LeBron James feeling today that he can do something more than just issue a press release.
And I would just say, as a LeBron fan, and, you know, listening to sports radio for the last 3 months, try to figure out where he sits in the top 10 list, driving me crazy. There's something totally special about LeBron. And today, you know, this week's events really show that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, people often compare him to Michael Jordan, particularly their outspokenness or Jordan's lack thereof. And I think what's often forgotten is that Michael Jordan grew up in a very stable middle-class home in Wilmington, North Carolina. And LeBron James's mom was 16 when he was born, and they spent part of his life living in a car. I mean, remember, he's only 32. I mean, we're not talking about some kind of distant past. I mean, the memories of poverty and hunger are a part of who he is. And I really think that creates a different kind of mindset when he looks at the question of community and the question of what his accountability is within that community.
Dave Zirin, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.